take your Bible in hand and turn to the Gospel of Luke. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 5. You know, on Wednesday nights and maybe even Sunday nights, not that I planned it that way, but I just through the years, I've spent a lot of time in Christian instruction from the epistles that God wrote through Paul. And I believe it's very important we learn how to conduct ourselves as Christians. And God's given a lot of His Word to a lot of instruction about that. So whether it be Romans and down through Thessalonians or wherever, I've spent a lot of time there. But lately, last few weeks, I've been in the Gospels some. So we've gone from Christian instruction to the instructor. I don't think we can go wrong when we talk about Jesus. If we want to learn more about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, let us read and study the Gospels. We're predestined to be conformed to the image of God's dear Son. And so we look at His life. He's not only our Lord and Savior, but a great example. And so where I know I've preached sermons on Wednesday nights, we've had Bible study and we've gone verse by verse in some things. But tonight, I when I look at what we're going to share and the way we're going to share it, I just see this kind of as a devotion. And maybe there's a time where we need that. And I've titled it, Jesus Taking Time with People. You know, I'm afraid that maybe some people think of Jesus, Savior of the world, and does He really have specific, set apart, special time just for you and I? Yes, He does. We're going to look at three events here. Just to point out Jesus taking time with people, and we're going to look at succeeding in Jesus, the healing from Jesus, and forgiving by Jesus. And we find in all these three events that Jesus gave His time to people. Jesus saves people. And Jesus transforms the lives of people to never be the same as they once were. So let's look at verses 1 through 11 at succeeding in Jesus. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon Him to hear the word of God, He stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake. But the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And He entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And He sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when He had left speaking, He said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a drop. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake, and they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. for he was astonished, and all that were with him at the draught of the fishes which they had taken, and so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had broken their and when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. Well, I guess you might say that they were the failed fishermen that night. A lot of fishermen have failed, if that's what we're going to call failure, because many have gone out and hadn't caught anything. And yet, they come back and they're washing their nets. If they didn't wash their nets, they wouldn't last. They would tear, they would rip, they wouldn't be any good. It was important that they wash their nets. The fact that they were washing their nets said that they're not quitting. There was a failure. You know, they came up short, but they're not quitting. Man, fishermen have quite a determination. I know some fishermen in this membership, and six times out on a little fishing trip, catching nothing, and they don't quit. They go back at it. Man, I guess, you know, does fishing help us with Christianity? There's a lot of Christian fishermen. And fishermen are relentless. They have great patience in their work. And they worked then very well together. Now you can go fishing alone with your cane pole and a hook. But then you fished with nets. And it took more than one. So they knew how to work together. So they're washing their nets and they're wrapping things up for the night, ready to go again one day soon. And all of a sudden Jesus comes to Peter's boat and he's saying, give it a nudge out in the water. And he starts teaching the Word of God. And don't get me wrong, he was sharing truth for everyone who was gathered around. But it was no accident that he went to Peter's boat out of the two. As he was teaching everyone, he also had some special time put aside for Peter, that Peter might learn. Peter was about to make a decision, and it was going to require faith for that decision. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Jesus had him nudge the boat out in the water, and Jesus started sharing the Word of God. Exactly what Peter needed. Jesus is taking time out for Peter in all of this that he's doing, that he might put the Word of God into practice by faith. And so after having Peter thrust out a little, and then after he taught the people from the ship, and then after he left speaking, he had Peter to launch out into the deep. How about this? Jesus is a carpenter, and he's taken over the fisherman's boat. He has just come in and taken over, and he's in charge. Peter is a professional fisherman. But the carpenter comes in and takes over and says, launch out into the deep. It is daytime now. Peter, the professional fisherman, he fished at night. They say at night on the Sea of Galilee is when the fish come up around the shallow area. And you could net them very easily. Jesus says, in the daylight now, launch out into the deep. This is something that Peter believes as a fisherman is a mistake. You don't go out in the... I fish at night. We don't go out in the day. The best fishing is not in the day. But Peter needed to make a decision by faith. And he made the right decision. What does he say here in verse 5? Simon answering said unto him, Master, we've toiled all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. Peter obeyed the Lord's command. It didn't make sense to him what Jesus was asking him to do. He could not understand the plan at all. But he put that aside and he obeyed by faith. Oh, what a miracle he would have missed if he would have not obeyed the Lord. If he would have relied on his own intelligence and his own experience as a fisherman, he would have missed a miracle that Jesus had planned for him. What about us? I don't think anyone in here wants to miss out on a miracle that Jesus has planned in our lives. And it takes obedience to the Word of God. It takes you and I getting over self. It takes you and I getting over flesh. It takes you and I getting over self-dependence. And just keeping it simple and obeying the Lord. It's not about you. It's not about me. We don't have the right plan. We don't have the right strategy. No matter how, we can see how things should fall into place in our own mind and how it should be done. When we go to see what Jesus thinks about it, He will turn everything upside down and put us in a whirlwind and have something else for us. That doesn't make sense, but we're to obey it by faith. Peter surrendered to the authority of Jesus in front of everyone, in front of however many people were on the shore listening to the Word of God. He humbled himself before Jesus and he obeyed him. Peter, after failure, instructed toward some unusual circumstances that he would never have done, found himself successful. He went from failure in doing his own thing to success by obeying Jesus and what Jesus would have him to do. They caught nothing all night. Next thing you know, the nets are breaking from so many fish. And you look here, and it looks like they needed help from the others. But also, they were willing to share the blessing that God gave them with others. You know, I'm afraid there's a place hearts can get to where they save what they can and just let the rest sink and don't think about someone else. They had their brothers to prosper. They wanted good for others. Verse 7, look, there's where it is. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. When we carry on in just what makes sense to us, when we do our own thing, we're going to experience some failure. There is going to be success, when it doesn't look like a recipe for success, but the Lord is prompting and the Lord is drawing us to something that doesn't make sense to us, when we get there, but we have peace in the direction we're going, even though it doesn't make sense, that's the Lord's leading, and you can plan on success from that, according to the Word of God. I mean, if what the Lord would have us to do completely made sense to our minds, where's the faith in that? The woman with the issue of blood. Here I go, leaving the scene here. But just think about her for a minute. She took her money and she went to doctors. She got examinations. She got medication. All of that failed. And then she went to Jesus. And she found success. Look at the time that Jesus was taking in the midst of all that he was doing to focus on Peter and to help Peter's faith and to make Peter successful. But not only do we see succeeding in Jesus, let's look at healing from Jesus in verses 12 through 16. And it came to pass when he was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy, who seeing Jesus fell on his face and besought him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And he put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately the leprosy departed from him. And he charged him to tell no man, but go and show thyself to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing according as Moses commanded, for a testimony unto them. But so much the more went there a fame abroad of him, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. And he withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed. Here's a man with leprosy. Leprosy went beyond skin deep. So we understand that over-the-counter medication was not going to help his situation. It was serious business. There was to be isolation when someone had leprosy until they were healed. Of course, we liken leprosy to sin, and we see the similarities as we would parallel that. It's contagious, it spreads just like sin. And in this man's case, he had leprosy, and he needed to be changed. But not only that, this man wanted to be changed. And he broke some rules, though. You know, when you had leprosy, you were to stay outside the camp, and if anyone came near you, you were to yell, unclean. But this man with leprosy went to Jesus, and he begged his help. And Jesus took time with this man. He gave his time to him. Our Lord and Savior is a friend of sinners. And he did not shun him. This man was humbled before God. He fell on his face and he begged for mercy. Clear repentance. Clear need of Jesus, clearly humble, realizing he's owed nothing and no one has to give him anything. But he goes to Jesus and he begs his help. And in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, by His power, He healed this man. He not only healed him, how about this? Jesus touched him. Jesus touched this leper. He didn't have to, but He did. It kind of makes you think about how Jesus was willing to be touched with our sin, to pay the price for our sins. He became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Wow, He did that for as we're talking about Jesus taking time with someone, He did that for everyone, but He did that in all of our lives individually. On that one glorious day, when our sin weight and burden, it was lifted, and God gave us a new home. And He came to live within that we might never be the same. He cleansed this leper. And then He told him not to tell anyone. Well, there's another rule broken by the leper. He was so enthusiastic, he told everyone he saw. Somebody said the greatest outreach for a church is an enthusiastic member. Man, I have seen that with folks in the church, and it's so true. Next thing you know, there are crowds gathered around Jesus. Multitudes gathering around Jesus. And don't get me wrong, He loves to love people. He loves to heal. He had compassion on the multitude, in that they had followed Him so long. He thought about how that they would be hungry, and He miraculously fed them all. So Jesus did business with the multitude. But there was something about the big crowds that He wasn't real keen on. Some people followed Him because they wanted the truth. They wanted to hear the Word of God. Other people followed Him for a meal. Some wanted to be entertained by miracles. You find Jesus, as you look through the Bible, you find Him slipping away from the crowds. And God the Son would go off and be alone with God the Father and spend alone time with Him. Man, there's a lot. There's healing that can happen in this service tonight, in something Jesus does in your heart or Jesus does in your mind over an issue that you have. There's healing that can happen when we're all gathered together in one accord. But oh, the healing that takes place when we go get alone with the Lord. Aren't there things that you tell the Lord that you won't tell anyone else? That's some sweet time. That's some sweet supplication when we get alone with the Lord. Not just to, you know, our time of prayer. I was speaking with someone about this before church tonight. If our time of prayer begins with Heavenly Father and ends in Amen, and everything in between is constant words and is constantly you and I talking, and not just sitting alone with God, that's something that must be incorporated into our alone time with God. The psalmist says it this way. The fifth psalm in the first verse says, "Give ear to my words, O Lord." Okay, we've got that right. Then David says, "Consider my meditation." A lot of healing takes place when we're alone with the Lord. So Jesus gives success as he takes time for us one-on-one. There's healing from Jesus as he takes time for us one-on-one. Let's look at forgiving by Jesus. Verses 17 through 26. And it came to pass on a certain day as he was teaching that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. And behold, men brought in a bed, a man which was taken with a palsy. And they sought means to bring him in and to lay him before him. And when they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, there's the multitude, there's the crowd, they went upon the housetop and let him down through the tiling with his couch into the midst before Jesus. And when he saw their faith, he said unto him, Man, thy sins are forgiven thee. And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, Who is this which speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answering said unto them, What reason ye in your hearts? Whether is easier to say, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Rise up and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power upon earth to forgive sins, he said unto the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise and take up thy couch and go into thine house. And immediately he rose up before them and took up that whereon he lay and departed to his own house, glorifying God. And they were all amazed and they glorified God and were filled with fear, saying, We have seen strange things today. So again, we have a crowd around Jesus. Some for hearing the truth. Some for healing. And they just want a healing. And they can go on. Or some for both. Hearing the truth and a healing. And then there were those who were critically observing what Jesus was doing. By the way, in their worldly religion, the Pharisees and the scribes, they had a right to do this, and they did. And I'm glad they did that at this very time. This is the first time we hear from the scribes and the Pharisees in the Gospel of Luke. And here it is that they are coming to observe Jesus as this man sick of the palsy is being brought to him to be healed. Before they see the work of Christ, though, they see the work of Christians. Four brought this man sick of the palsy to be healed. What a great example of what we're to be doing one for another. Helping another that there might be healing of someone else. They're doing what we ought to be doing. And they come to bring this man to Jesus, and there's a crowd. There's a crowd of those who are sincere and they are seeking the Lord. And then there's the crowd of spectators who want to be entertained. Who want to be amused. They really don't want him, but they're watching the show, as they would say. It saddens my heart to think about those who truly seek the Lord and the spectators get in their way. I mean, look, this is sad. This is terrible. But there are those who come seeking the Lord sometimes, and then they don't want to have anything to do with the church, the Word of God. They quit this idea of seeking the Lord because of someone else. And don't get me wrong, a Christian can be guilty of this, but sometimes it's not even a Christian at all, because there are spectators who come to the house of God. And so we have those who come to seek the Lord, and they go away, and they blame it on the things of God, the people of God, or the house of God, when it's really nothing to do with God at all, and it's just the spectators. But you have these men coming by faith, knowing that Jesus can heal this man. And you have the sincere ones there, but you have a crowd. The crowd is outside the house. There's no way they can get to the house for the sincere ones and the spectators, but they didn't let the spectators stop them. They went right over them, and they dug through the roof, and they laid him down before Jesus. Jesus had a crowd. The house was full. Outside the house was full. But Jesus took time for this man. Four brought him with faith. And I reckon this man that had his head on his bed, that left with his bed on his head, he came to faith also. Jesus didn't say, "Arise, get up and walk." Yet, he said, "Thy sins be forgiven thee." Oh, that made the critical Pharisees and scribes upset. No one can forgive but God. They brought him to be healed, and Jesus says, "Thy sins be forgiven thee." Spiritual healing he gave. They could not see the spiritual healing. When he said, "Thy sins be forgiven thee," then he says, "Arise, get up and walk." Then he gave the physical healing. And this man who was a paralytic got up and walked out with his bed on his head. And everybody saw it. And the power of that healing gave evidence that this man has authority and power to forgive sins. Gave evidence of the spiritual by the power of the physical healing. For a convincing testimony of who Jesus is. The scribes and Pharisees called it blasphemy, but it didn't stop the people of God. They rejoiced and they glorified God. This man was physically healed, but he also experienced forgiveness. This man comes down before Jesus. You know, I'll never forget a boxing match back in the 80s. Somebody was hang gliding, and they came right down in the boxing ring. And everybody was shocked, and everybody was going crazy, and everybody was beating him up. This guy was let down before Jesus. And he stopped and he spent time with him individually. And it's the same for you and I. Jesus has time for you and I individually, all the time. Let us go to him by faith. That there is success. We fail. We're going to fail again, but there is success in the Lord Jesus Christ. There is healing from the Lord Jesus Christ, and there is forgiveness from the Lord Jesus Christ. Man, when it's forgiveness from Jesus, nothing and no one else matters. And we are broken before Him. I don't care what anybody else is saying or what anybody else is doing. When I need forgiveness from the Lord, we're broken before Him. And we don't deserve it. But we're broken, we fall on our face before Jesus Christ. We confess, we admit, we acknowledge our sin is ever before Thee. As the psalmist said in the 51st Psalm, which is the most beautiful picture of repentance that we'll ever know about, and that event that was recorded for us. And there is forgiveness for you and I, individually, before the Lord. The Lord takes time for His people in need. You don't have to gather up. He doesn't need to kill two birds with one stone. You don't need to gather up several and everybody go at once. Everybody go one at a time, alone with God for these things that He does for us. What a wonderful Savior He is. We're going to go ahead and close in prayer. And I apologize for my sniffling, and I've got to leave because I don't want to get anyone sick and I'm about done. But, Nolan, do you have a song before we leave? Okay, some Nazi will. I told him I'm going to start doing that. Brother Terry Medder, can you close the Bible study in prayer, sir?